Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna get ready.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
You better get your house in order.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Tuned into Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come across these skyways and airways again, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and I pray that all is well in your family circle, and I hope and pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. I'd just like to take this time, this podium, to send condolences out to all of you that have lost loved ones. Maybe you've lost your spouse. Maybe you've lost your parents, your grandparents, your colleague, one of your friends, whoever was near and dear unto your heart. I just want to send condolences out to you, you, and you. And may God bring about restoration unto your heart and soul. I just thank those of you that were able to tune in on this morning. Hallelujah. You know, look like every time I say I'm going to come in a little earlier, look like this time just get away. And so I tell you, I injured my hand with a kitchen knife. I had a brand new knife I was cutting with and just cut my hand. And I'll tell you, and I just had a big bloody mess in my kitchen area. So I had to go and get my hand and things taken care of. And so that killed a lot of time. But, you know, just like I said, you know, with the nicks, the cuts, the scrapes, what have you, I'm in it to win it. I'm on this mission that God has placed me on. This itinerary that he has planned out for my life. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to let Satan and his little nappy-headed little children, them little imps, I'm not going to let nothing, I mean absolutely positively nothing, separate me from the love of God. And you know, that's the kind of mindset that we should have in this life, on this Christian journey. We should have our minds so made up that we're not going to let nothing or no one disrupt what God has set out for you and I to do. And so, like I said, thank those of you that were able to tune in on this morning. I thank you for allowing me into your living room area. Thank you for allowing me into your work area or your workspace. And then I also thank you for allowing me to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the Old Ship of Zion on your radio dial. So I want you to just get comfortable, get into your leisure wear, and I hope and pray that you're probably in that this time of morning. Those of you that, you know, probably is at home or getting off of work or what have you. And so just get your OJ or your latte or just whatever beverages that you have at your disposal and get all your digital devices and bring them aboard because we are in need of them. We'll be going into our scripture reading. And so we're going to need all your digital devices, your iPhone, your iPad, your laptop, and all of your just, you know, like I said, your digital toys, bring them aboard. And just allow me to minister the divine word of God unto you on this morning. This is Saturday morning, and this is our second day into our new month of April. And I just was thinking about my dear mother who is in demise. And I said, Lord, you know, Mom, it's going to be your birthday on tomorrow. And so I have my mother's birthday and my father's birthday is in this month. And I have a lot of family members. This birthday is in the month of April. So those of you that had had a birthday already today or yesterday, I want to wish you a happy belated birthday. Those of you that had a birthday on today, I want to wish you a happy birthday. And I hope and pray that it's the best birthday ever. And so, anyway, now we're going to go on into our opening prayer. Every time that we approach this podium, we will not fail to reference and recognize our Lord and our Savior and our soon-coming Messiah. I want to introduce him to some and present to others. His name is Jesus Christ. He is a native of Nazareth, yet he was born in Bethlehem. And he is the one that has made this all possible for you and I and us to just fellowship around this globe. Hallelujah. One unto another. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. And so we're going to go right now without any further ado. I'm just asking those of you that are out there in my digital live audience on this morning to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer. Father God, hallelujah, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you so graciously, Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather in unity once again, God, around this spectrum. For we know that this earthly soil that we're treading on, God, is not our eternal destination. We know that you have lying in waiting. A place that's not built by mortal man, but you are the architect and you are the builder. But until you come in all of your beauty, all your power and glory, one of these old historical days, God, you said, work till you come. So we're going to keep our hand held to the plow. We're going to not dare to look back, but we're going to move upward and we're going to move forward. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we're going to be mounting up, God, as pilgrims through this barren land. We're going to be mounting up, God, from the north, from the south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this barren land. And I'm asking you, O gracious Heavenly Father, to enable me on this morning, God, to be able to bring a rhema word to those that know you and those that do not have a relationship with you, God. I want you to enable me to bring a rhema word, God. I want you to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to each and every one of those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their souls, God. And we will not take your glory, we will not take your praise, but we will give you all the glory and honor that's due unto thee. And Father God, we'll be so mindful to give your name the glory and all of the praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we will let the temple say amen and amen. Hallelujah. And so, I sermon on this morning entitled, The Devil's Soup Bowl. I want to say that one more time. The Devil's Soup Bowl. And we're going to take our first key scripture out of the law of, I believe that's John, I believe. Let me get my specs here. And I believe that is John. Yes, it is. So it says, when the devil speaks a lie, when the devil speaks a lie from his own resource, for he is a liar and the father of it. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of John 8 and 44. All right, we're going to move on down to our second key scripture. And it reads this, hallelujah. It says that do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should but obey its lust. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Romans 6 and 12. All right, we're going to read our third and final key scripture for this morning. And it reads this. It says that God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. You are able, but will also make the way of escape. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. And so, what I mean by the devil's soup bowl, I mean temptation, how the devil can just, you know, deceive us, how the devil can entice us, hallelujah, with his foolishness and his wickedness. We know that we have a mind. God has gave each and every one of us a mind, that we can say yay or nay to things that we know that are wrong and things that we know that are not like God. So God has given each and every one of us a mind to distinguish right from wrong. And you know, it always has been a common statement. People say, yeah, we all make mistakes. And we know that that's true. But we go and we see what Paul says. And Paul said that sin is universal. Now, we know that this was caused by one man. But everyone should also know that God's grace is universal. In fact, because of Christ, God's simple declaration that we are righteous, and then we are, if you and I have sinned years ago or even an hour ago, you and I might feel guilty, but we know that if we're standing offer for a forgiveness, we know God offered you and I forgiveness, and that's nothing that we could buy, but it's freely given through Jesus Christ. It is available to every human. Hallelujah. You don't have to do anything to earn it. God gives it freely from our Heavenly Father. And so we know that God forgive you and I. Then we can also be able to forgive ourselves and have a true peace of mind and a peace of soul enjoying our eternal life. We know that this is the good news of Christianity. We don't have to be tempted by what the devil bring unto you and I, because we can stand firm on our belief. We know that burying our head in sand, it is a saying that describes someone who wants to ignore his or her shortcoming, or even those of others. But we know that the prophet Nathan, he did not allow King David to forget his sins or his adultery and murder. We can go into the law of 2 Samuel 12 and 1 through 14. We know that it took a brave man to confront a king about the errors. But yet Nathan was obedient to God and he was wise. In his approach to the apostle Paul, he urged that the early church to confront sin. So we don't have to, you know, be bashful about confronting our fellow brothers or sisters, but it is a way in which to do that, and I will explain that as I move about in this reading here on this morning. We know that the Bible tells us that we can restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness and considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law, Galatians 6 and 1. You and I are to confront our brothers and sisters in Christ, their sin, with the view of restoring them to the fellowship of God. We are not to run them off, but we are to encourage them. Stay in this race. Stay encouraged and stay with God. We must also recognize that we are not immune to the same temptation. You and I should go look, we shouldn't go looking for sin in the lives of others. But we know believers, of course, but we neither should we bury our head in the sand when it's needed to be confronted. And we can pray that our Heavenly Father will allow us to live with thoughtfulness in what we say and do, and confronting the wrong with truth and fact, and expressing the gentleness and the tact. We know that slander seeks to destroy our brothers and sisters, but rebuke can restore our brothers and our sisters. Hallelujah. So we know that we should just love them with gentleness and kindness according to the word of God. And the Bible tells us, says, do not let sin reign in yours and mine and ours, mortal body, that you and I should obey it in the lust. And that scripture reading again is coming out of law. Of Romans 6 and 12. We know that there was an individual that he wrote about certain reservation in his life, and he had secret sin that he reserved for himself, into which he frequently withdrew. And he said that these reserves, these were reserved, and he said that they are large tracts of wilderness. It may sound exciting to wander around these untamed regions by oneself, but we know that it is dangerous for you and I to be in a place of bewilderness and unknown region area. We know that it's deadly and it's dangerous, but we know that each journey, it can take its toll. We sacrifice our closeness with God, forfeiting his blessings. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Psalms 24 and 1 through 5. And we lose our influence on others that come from purity of mind and body. We can read that out of the law of 1 Timothy 4 and 12. We find out that the wild area in which you and I may never be fully tamed, but we can set up premeditators that keep us from wandering into them. One premeditator is to remember that we are dead to sin. We are dead to sin's power. We don't have to give in to sin. The second premeditator is to resist temptation when it first attracts you and I. We know the initial temptation may not be strong, but if you and I entertain it, it will in time gain power and overwhelm you and I. The third perimeter is to accountability. You and I can find a person who will commit and to ask each week, have you taken a hike in the wild? Have you gone where you should not go? We know that impurity is ruinous, but it longs for holiness and asks God for his help. He will give us the victory to press on. And you can ask God to just guide you and strengthen you so you can follow through with what we know is right and true. We can be aware, because we know that the more that we look at temptation, the better it looks. Can just tell the devil, say, I bind you, devil. Said, I want you to flee. And if you say that, I mean, with sincerity and with the power that you have, hallelujah, embedded in you, then the devil got to bust a move. He cannot stay. He got to go. Hallelujah, because there's power. We know there's power in the name of Jesus. And God give us power to subdue temptation. That's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about the devil's soup bowl. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I'm reminded about a mother whom she had about four or five children. She was on her way to a pawnbroker. Hallelujah. She was in hoping of getting a loan for about $60 for her television set. Then on her way to the pawnbroker, we're told that something bizarre happened. An unusual armored truck filled with sacks of money drove by this mother. Then the rear door of the armored truck flew open and a large bag dropped out. The mother stopped to pick it up. Then she counted the cash, she counted it, and she found out that it totaled more than $160,000. She had baffled and rage in her soul. She said that money would pay all of her bills and provide for the needs of her children. But one thing for certain, that money did not belong to her. It was not hers to keep. But after a fierce 4 hours struggling with the moral conviction, she then called the police and she turned in the money because her sense of doing the right thing won the victory over temptation. And so we know that you have the victory over temptation. You do not have to succumb to what the devil bring about. You know it's not right, then you don't have to do it. You tell that demon, I am not going to do anything that would put me out of the will of God. We know that, hallelujah, if we succumb to the devil tactics, it can break you and I down. But if we're faced with an enticing chance to do something wrong, we know that Adam and Eve, as well as Jesus, they were attacked by Satan on three fronts: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You can find that scripture reading coming out of the law, 1 John 2 and 16. Our first parents, and I'm talking about Adam and Eve, they succumbed to the serpent's solicitation in the law of Genesis 3 and 1 through 6. But Jesus did not in the law of Matthew 4 and 1 through 11. So I want to encourage you on this morning, no matter what the devil is pressing us to do, let's follow Jesus' example and to do what's right. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. We know that each victory will help you, some others, to win. Manfully onward, dark passion subdue. Look ever to Jesus. He will carry you and I through. We know to withstand temptation, you and I must stand with Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And so we know that in this life, in this world of uncertainty, every day that we leave our homes, our workplaces, the storefronts, the laundromats, the bank, and wherever our itinerary carries us each and every day, we encounter the devil's Super Bowl of doing something that's not right. You know, maybe you leave something in your cart and you forget to pay for it. Then the devil say, oh, didn't nobody see you? You can carry that on out. But if we know to do right, we will go back and say, listen, I forgot this was in my cart. I want to pay for it. I want to do the right thing. And we know that the right is going to win every time over wrong. And God will reward you. I read a story last evening about a young waitress whom a patron had lost, I think. Well, I won't say lost it, but he left. Presumably $1,000 at the table where he had just dined from. And the waitress had come up on it, and so she knew that, you know, that money probably would help her in some way, you know. And I know that the devil was probably talking into her ear as well. But, you know, she had that determination to do what was right. So she turned the money in, and they contacted the individual that was sitting at that table, the owner of the money, in which was left at the table. And so there was the patron that was able to retrieve his money. And even though I don't know if the waitress was given anything for her, you know, just being willfully to turn the money over, but I know God will bless her for doing the right thing, having a mind to do right, even when temptation, you know, is all around us and whispering in our ear to keep it. You know, you can keep that $1,000. You can go shop and go on a shopping spree. You know, you can go and pay down on your ride. You can put that money into the bank. This will be a tuition for your child's daycare. This will be a payment for the nursery. This will be payment for the academy that your son or daughter might be attending. But we know that if we just succumb to do what is right in the eyesight of our Lord and our Master Jesus Christ, then we know that God will bless us. And, you know, we don't really even know the magnitude in which God can and will bless you and I. You know, even though, you know, even if human don't reward us for being, you know, a truthful and upright citizen in this world, we know that God will bless us. So God do not really want us looking to an individual, but God want you and I to look to him for everything that we need. God said, I will. He didn't say your cousin would. He didn't say that your parents would. He didn't say that your lawyer would, or your physician would, your insurance salesman would, your baby boo would, Tyrone would. But God said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory. So did you know that God owns a cattle on a thousand hills? So, you know, you just think about all the banks, the financial institutions, credit unions, the loans institutions. God owned all of those as well. So, I mean, God is rich beyond measure. You can count man's currency here on earth. You can tell him, you know, you can say, well, this, he got 1.2 million. He got 4.5 billion. He's got 100,000, you know, 200,000, 50,000, 1,500. You can count humanity's currency. But I'm talking about that heavenly deity that you and I serve and that we know about and that we read about and somebody witnessed to us about. We read in the Bible. We read in a book, you read in the newspaper, maybe you went to the movies and you saw the Christ, I forget the name of that, but I went to see it, and it was such a moving, oh Lord, it was such a moving movie, theatrical of God, and I'll tell you, I mean, you just could not sit in your seat and keep a straight face, because when you saw what they had did to our Lord and Savior, I mean, it would just bewilder you and just, you know, make you weep and cry, you know, that they would do, oh, hallelujah, just such an immoral thing to our Lord and our Savior. But he did all of that to prove his love for you and I. God loved you on this morning. God do not want you lost. God do not want you to continue to be working in the devil's playground. But God wants you to take God to be your Lord and Savior. And the first thing that you can do is to acknowledge to God that you are a sinner. You are a sinner. and that you acknowledge the wrong that you have done. And you can ask God to forgive you of all of the sins that you have ever done. And God will forgive you. I mean, in that very hour, God is a forgiving God. God is a loving God. And so we know that we're talking about the devil's soup bowl. And we know that the devil speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources. The Bible says he's a liar and the father of lies. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of John 8 and 44. We know that the devil, you know that the name for a perfect name for that would be an offer that you know someone would offer. May it be a business, or may it be pretty much I would say a place of business. So it could be a eatery shop, a bakery, or maybe a special in the store. And then we're told that the offer can sometime can lure you and I, and it will take us, and we will find ourselves interested in whatever they're selling. Well, let me check this out. You know, let me see what sale that they have going on, how much money I'll save. But then in the end, it will provide nothing, because we know that the devil is a deceiver. We know that his menu is a bowl of tricks that deliver only empty promises and broken dreams. Satan began his deceit work of substitute nothing for something. So if it ever sounds too good to be true, just remember, coming from Satan's point of view, it is. For the Bible says that he come to steal, kill, and destroy. When he tricked Eve in the Garden of Eden, he had not changed his plan. He tried his deceit on Jesus, but we know that God resisted, and the devil left him alone. That scripture reading is coming out of law, Matthew 4, 9 through 11. We know that Satan is a lie, and he tests new ideas each and every day. But you and I can just tell the devil, devil, you're a liar. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And you open up the word of God, put on you some Christian music, and I guarantee you the devil's got to bust the move. He cannot stay where the move of God, the atmosphere of God is going on. Because, see, he hates the devil. He hates God, and God hates him too. God hates him. Hallelujah. Because he is the one that caused God to have to go to Calvary Cross in the first place. He deceived Adam and Eve in the garden. And so we know that Jesus despised Satan, and Satan despised God. And everything God does, and each name that Jesus has, then the devil tries to have something to be similar to God. You know, he's always trying to mimic Jesus, but he knows that he has no power. God dictate to him on what he want him to do every day. God tell him what to do. He cannot do anything but what God tell him to do. He's under the feet of Jesus. He's under God's command. So if God tell him to get somewhere and sit down, you better believe he's going to get somewhere and sit down somewhere. So we know that Satan is nothing but a deceiver. Hallelujah. I would like to ask you, how do you know if you're being offered one of Satan's lies? One thing that you can do is you can start reading the Word of God. Start trying new ideals, and then you can get with people that you love and you trust that know God and living for God each and every day, godly people. And then you can pray. Ask God for directions. Ask God for discernment. So I would just encourage you, don't fall for the devil's bowl of empty lies. We know that Satan offers nothing but tricks and deceit. Hallelujah. So our sermon this morning has been the devil's soup bowl. We know that every day Satan is trying to suck them, our sons and our daughters, our nephews, our nieces, our grandchildren, as they go off to school, elementary school, off to junior high school. And then those are in community colleges. Those are in universities. The devil is there every day. He's trying to get them to get into some group, some crowd, you know, so they can fit in. Oh, you need to get over here, get with us, you know, so you can, you know, do what we're doing. But see, you don't have to fit in. You don't have to fit in where the devil is concerned. You can stand your ground. No, I'm going to stand right where I'm standing. Thank you, but no thank you. Hallelujah. We read about a young lady just the other evening that she wanted to join the jihadi. And they caught her, I think, at the airport and turned her around. Now, she was a college student. I think she was in college or had been to college. She was about probably 18 to 20 years old, in that age range. And beautiful young woman. But you know, the devil don't care nothing about how beautiful you are or what you look like. He could care less. But I'm just telling you how God can just take just a beautiful individual, and you don't have to be beautiful on the outside. I'm talking about just beautiful in your personality, you know, in your demeanor. Beautiful that way. In your characteristic. And then the devil come whispering in her ear and in her husband's ear to go somewhere and to be on the enemy's campground. And then being, as the movie would say, an enemy of the state. See, the devil don't care about getting you mixed up and tangled up in anything. You can be going along your business and minding your own business, but the devil's going to make your business his business, because his MO, as I first stated, is robbery. You said, what you mean robbery, Overseer Ward? I mean robbery of your health, robbery of your focusing, robbery of your mental mind capacities, robbery of your joy, robbery of your health, robbery of being free. The devil would want you locked up rather than to be free. His MO is to steal, kill, and to destroy. Only will you find safety in the arms of Jesus. And so we just have to pray for our young people. Pray for everybody, not just the young folks, because everybody of every age group is doing things out of the norm every day. They're doing something outside of the box. They're doing something that is bewildered to their own family members, you know, their friends, their constituents. I tell you, you know, the devil, it's no joke. And the devil is on his job every day. Every day that you're on your job, Satan is on his job too. But he's on his job to put you in a noose. So that means putting your neck, a rope around your neck spiritually. See, he don't want you free to be able to go to and for. You can go to work. You can go home. You can get in your car and ride down the highway. You can just do what you want. But the devil would want you and I locked up behind closed walls than to be free. So we have to know when Satan comes to you and I. Tell him, Satan, you must get to skipping because I'm not finna suck him to what you're trying to get me into. I'm not buying it. So you might as well go and harass somebody else because I'm not the one today. I'm not the one. And when you do that, the devil know that, hey, oh, I wasn't able to fool him, you know. I wasn't able to pull the wool over hers and his eyes. So he's going to bust the move and he's going to go to somebody else that he feels is vulnerable, you know, that's, you know, maybe something is going on with him. Maybe they've lost a loved one, you know, maybe the boyfriend or the girlfriend has left them and they're just kind of feeling down and despondent, you know, and usually when you're despondent, that's when the devil wants to come at you, when he knows that, you know, he can get to you at your lowest point in your life. He can come and whisper in your ear. But see, you can tell that demon, I'm not going over into your playground. You might as well leave me alone because I'm gonna do what's right. And you don't have to be a saved person to do what's right and know what's right. You just know you have those natural, abilities to know. God gave us that. To know the differential from right and wrong. And you can say no. As quick as you can say yes, you can say no. Somebody that's trying to get you into crime, to jump on somebody, to, you know, shoot at somebody, you tell them no. No, I'm so sorry, you know. You know, if that breaks our friendship, then so be it. But I'm not going to get my name tarnished. I'm not going to get a record. I'm not going to get me a mug shot and fingerprinted. So you might as well go head on, brother, sister. I'm not going to suck them to your, you know, the crimes that you're trying to get into. I'm not going to be a part of that. But I'm going to do what I know is right. And when you do that, God blesses you. God blesses you because you are doing the right thing. And God know that you could have sucked them to the demonic spirit and you could have followed in the leading of the satanic force. But you held your ground and you refused to let the devil use you and make a mockery out of you. And to be, you know, just a heartache to your family and on your family and your family members and your children and those that's close and near and dear unto your heart. You know, we have to think before we do things. Who am I hating? Who am I hurting? Am I hurting my family? Am I hurting my parents? Am I hurting my children? Am I hurting my relatives, my friends, my church family? Before we do things. And then if you don't know, then just ask God, God, what should I do? And God will lead you on what to do. God will just guide you where he would have you to go. So in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you'd want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station has been produced by Blog Talk Radio. Program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Send your correspondent. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California 95020. Our web address is www.janicewardministries.org. Till we meet again across these skyways and airways, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. We're going to change the dynamics of this program. We're going to now turn you over to Hymns of Zion to uplift your spirit and to inspire your heart. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next, Hymns of Zion. Bye for now.
When it blows, when you was in the club. you knew it, you slipped and then flipped up off the road. Now you're praying, hoping for a bright light. If I make it, God, I swear I'm gonna act right.
When you see me, I'm in uptown, baby. What you know about me? Oh, nothing really. Well, it's changed that. Yeah, I came back, I took a break, but now break that. Formerly known, yeah, I made that. And them cartoons every Saturday, get your breakfast, I'm great. Yeah, I got lines like barcodes. Y'all got jokes like Bart Simpson on bar phones. How you acting dumb on your smartphone? Bitch is a man, so I stay looking. Cast a mess like I'm straight Brooklyn. Oh, yo, life so hard. Why don't you face it? Try to make the straight crooked with the porn sites, but I ain't looking. I got bands that'll make her dance at the wedding ring for my wife. Bling, I'ma say that twice. Bling, ladies, if you ain't got one, don't give him none. True love is waiting, and you so worth that. I know you heard the bull cry, but if you headed on the wrong path, go ahead and turn back. You're never too far to be made new. They said you did it because it ain't true. I simplify to that iron jack. Check with my whole crew. Why? Oh, you or me, nothing, no, nothing. Why or you or me, nothing, no, nothing. I know you will, 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 I know you will. Even when they say you won't, I know you will, I know you will, I know you will. Even when they say you can't, I know you will. There's nothing you can't do, nothing in this world to do for you. So when they say, I know you will, I know you will. Even when they say you can't, I know you will. Some say you can't, I say that you will. My payment cost a grip, but Jesus paid the bill. You don't believe in miracles.
name bomb. So I tell the world that we stay torn and do it our way. You won't change form. This ain't no fast food. Nope, nope, you can't over us. They looking. What's the formula? We just really want more of God. Now we don't want more of us, cause he did it. We giving him back, even when they ain't awarding us. And them strip clubs, money drugs, come on, cause you borrowing us. We moved it all before, and I'm still under pressure. That sort of stuff, we were made for more, though. But them awards don't, so you thank Christ. That lip service don't need nice if you ain't found that life.
Why, oh, you owe me nothing, no, nothing. Why, oh, you owe me nothing, no, nothing. I know you will, I know you will, I know you will.
Thank you. Jesus, I surrender all to thee. I freely give.
Ooh, Oh, God. I'm going through while I'm going through, I'd be more patient. God, help me to see things the way you see things. And I already say, help me to be patient. Say that again. Give us your eyes.
Thank you. left.
Somebody looks good.
It looks good.